Welcome to episode 367 of the Tilehurst End podcast. Another spin on the rollercoaster ride of League One this week saw us lose to Wigan, but pick up a valuable win against the Rams last night at the Select Car Leasing Stadium. Here to discuss both of those games is Ross, as always. Ross, what's the snow situation with you at the moment?
I thought you might ask about the snow, and I was quickly taking a look. It's all right. It's my driveway has sort of got a low covering right now, and it's snowing and raining today. So, you know, really? All kinds of fun stuff. We had like nice powdery stuff like you would want to ski on, and now it's just all pack. So not ideal.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, it wasn't snowing last night, but we had everything else. At the Mad Stad, it was weird. The seat I sit in, I never get wet unless I'm crying.
That's the first thing my wife takes notice of. Sorry, real quick, when she gets into the stadium, is whether we're under the roof, like whether we're going to get rained on when it rains, basically.
Well, the wind was whipping round last night. Proper precipitation everywhere. It was horrible. Stairs were hazardous. It was. Off the pitch, awful. On the pitch, delicious. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment.
Very good.
Before we do, though, massive thanks to our massive thank yous to our. I was going to say felicitations. That's not right, is it? But you know what I mean. To ZT. I nearly said Zedcar Films. That's not right. Start again. Massive thanks to ZCZ Films, as always, for their sponsorship, support. Just everything, really. You know, we love you guys and girls.
And especially their car leasing services. We appreciate you, ZCZ Films, for that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what I'm saying. But yeah, thank you very much, as always, to those guys. And thank you guys for joining us for another episode. We realise that we've absolutely bombarded you with podcasts, which have done very, very well numbers-wise. I have to say, Ross took the hot seat on Sunday, and that was a fantastic episode. We'll talk about that later on. But we've had the Port Vale pod, and obviously we had a bit of a bumper one with Adam last week. So lots to get into in the back catalogue if you've not already. Right. Let's get into the recap of Wigan, but mainly Derby. We'll focus on them because that gave us 3 points.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Right, Ross, let's do Wigan first. How would you describe that game?
Just a giant meh. I've written down like a good little amount of stuff on Derby and been having some interesting conversations this morning but before getting on here, but Wigan, I just got nothing. This is a big meh. Reading weren't the worst team on the day. I wouldn't necessarily say they were the best team on the day either, but this was two fairly toothless teams kind of going at it. Thought Reading managed to hold possession nicely, but they didn't really do a whole lot with it. And I think somebody else I saw on Reading Twitter sort of summed it up best when they said this is just a day when Reading had too many star players not show up. We didn't really get much from Nibs, we didn't really get much from Wing, and a quiet week from him overall, which we'll talk a bit more about later. It felt like the momentum with this sort of team that have been building, over the Christmas period, just went a little bit stale during this game. So just a lot of meh, really.
Yeah, it's I guess it was always going to happen. The week potentially, I don't know. Is it fair to say kind of had the players sidetracked? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think. Well, I know that not many people travelled up to the game from our point of view, and those who did were rewarded with an instantly forgettable game. I think it was always going to happen, quite frankly. And I think, as we've said time and again on the pod, that the home games are key. Which leads us very nicely on to last night's, I have to say, unexpected win. Sort of one main change, which we'll get into in a moment. But generally there was some pretty good performances from key individuals. It was quite amusing, really, because as I was driving to the game and I suddenly popped into my head about Tom Holmes. Not that he doesn't anyway, but I invariably just think about current Reading players on a whim, and he was one of them. And I just kind of thought to myself, well, if you'd have said after the Port Vale game back in the summer that he would have ended up in January Premier League,
yeah,
like, you know, I mean, I don't really have any strong opinions on Luton at all, but like, they're still a Premier League club, and he's still got a possibility to actually play for a Premier League club should they stay up. And I just think it's insane.
Yeah, and I didn't know that you could buy, I didn't know you could buy a Premier League player for less than, what the reported £500,000 or something like that.
Yeah, well, look, if you want a bargain, come to Reading, because regardless of what directors of football tell you, we will sell, one thing we can do is sell players under market value, so if anyone's listening to this, actually, no, don't, ignore that bit. I mean, look, he had a good game last night, right? He was pretty decent from what I remember in the catalogue of Tom Holmes' games. Just talk to us a little bit about, you know, not necessarily the formation because that was tried and tested, but just generally what made us win the game last night, and don't say the goal.
No, I mean, yeah, that's the obvious answer. That's the quick and easy answer. Right there. I think that Tom Holmes is a good place to start, because I think that since he came back in to the team, and like you say, we really didn't expect that to happen, he has been one of Reading's consistently, you know, one of Reading's best players. And he's a funny one, obviously. This little period between Port Vale and the recent, you know, his recent return to the team, it's kind of in the first time in his entire time with the team that he hasn't been playing week in, week out. You know, he came in, I think under Paunovic, and was playing that right back spot. And then went to center back as the seasons kind of rolled on in the Championship. And he was kind of always thought of as he's always going to be in the team, guy who came in for some criticism because he was always in the team, I think. And now that we've had some time without him, I think that we get to appreciate what he does, which is that he organizes a defense very well, which is really important when we don't necessarily have too many other organizers in that defense. But he passes out of defense pretty well. So I do think he's really important. In general, I thought this game is completely different from the Wigan game. Whereas most teams recently, we've been able to dominate a lot of the possession and keep the ball pretty much in the areas that we've wanted it. This is one whereby Derby had more possession and we had to attack in transition a lot more. But I actually think it worked really nicely, especially for our wingers. And of course, you know, the goal is not necessarily the reason that we won, although mathematically it is, but that gets close to what helped us win, which I think was our wing play last night. Both our wingers, Makairu and Aziz, managed to get the ball deep into the box multiple times. They managed to stretch the play wide, you know, keep the pitch nice and wide, but then get from the pit, you know, from the wide areas to the byline, and provide some decent crosses. With better finishing, Reading could have won that game 2-3, and it might have been a night like the Blackburn result last season. So, yeah, I thought this is really a pretty impressive performance from Reading, and showed that if and when they have to attack against better teams more in transition than in a slow build up, they can do it, and they can do it pretty well. So, yeah, good performance overall.
I think the attacking point you made is an interesting one, because first half, certainly, I thought it was kind of tit for tat. There was a lot of waste from both teams, you know, in the final third. And, you know, you could see both teams were trying in the first 45 minutes for sure. And it was quite an open game at times.
Yeah.
You know, we hit the post. They hit the crossbar. I think they might have hit the post again, potentially. I can't remember. But
yes, they just seemed...
There just seemed quite a lot of, you know, of huff and puff with no real end product. You know, possession wise, we had 42 to their 58, but the telling thing really was the two shots on target. And, you know, for a team that's kind of a lot higher at the table than we are, we restricted them to none on target. And I think that speaks volumes of kind of the defensive solidity that we've had.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily consistency, but there's elements that we've seen over the last, what, 3-4 weeks where, you know, we're kind of building to this. I mean, the one change was obviously Charlie Savage coming in, which took us sort of all by surprise, but not really by surprise, because, you know, whether the clause was there or not, it seems slightly interesting that we've managed to get rid of sort of what, 2-3 players, and you know now he starts a game.
Now the funds are here. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We see Savage. I think we just said off air, right? We see Savage on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday morning we find out that Nesta's popped off down the road. So you know maybe that's where the funds came from. I have no idea. I don't know how club finances work.
We're pretty confident, you know, as anyone is now, that news is out there that it was to do with, I'm going to stick my neck out and say it was to do with that. You know, it was to do with the contract situation and the amount of starts. And I think regardless of how he played last night, you don't, as a club, you don't want to be handicapped by having players that can't play because you can't afford to pay their rises, basically. So it was good to have him back in the team. Just kind of talk to us a little bit about the midfield, because you know you mentioned Aziz, you mentioned Makairu. I thought certainly the first half Nibs was full of energy for sure. But you know, just generally, how did you kind of see the midfield sort of map out in that game?
It's a good point on Nibs, just quickly, because with Abby seemingly leaving the team, that's a dynamic way in which Reading build up, you know, his legs being lost from the team. But another way in which dynamic situations happen quite frequently for Reading is through Harvey Nibs winning the ball back in a place he has no business winning the ball back. So that's going to become even more important. It's key for Reading that Harvey Nibs continues to do that. But yeah, the midfield was really interesting last night, especially with Savage coming in for Craig. They can play similar roles, but really, I think that they require a slightly different, at least assignment of roles, and maybe a slightly different formation. But I'm kind of interested in what that even really was last night. It looked almost, there are some people who are thinking it was a 4-2-3-1. That seemed to be the general vibe this morning. It looks almost like a 4-3-3 in the player map itself, with Savage and Wing playing in a sort of double pivot. And I think that's the key thing to look at, whether it was a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3. It's kind of Savage and Wing in a double pivot, which I think is going to be important for Reading having a bit of a plan B in build up moving forward. And I don't think that playing Savage in the way that Craig has just played for a few months now, you know, playing Savage in a big block like that, I don't necessarily think that's the thing we need to be doing. I think the thing we need to be doing is getting better at playing these different shapes that can come out of a 4-3-3 formation, and do that with whichever player is better suited out of Craig or Savage for the particular game plan. Today's game reminded me a bit of the Portsmouth result earlier in the season. Yesterday's game against Derby reminded me of that, whereby Savage and Wing both scored while playing in a sort of 4-3-3 formation. So I think we'll see this again. And I thought last night was a pretty useful experiment, despite, you know, the overall performance. I thought that Savage and Wing overall found themselves in a game last night whereby, like I said, Reading's attacks had to come in transition, and therefore the way in which they play in a more slow build up with passes through the lines, that wasn't happening for Reading as much. Instead, they were getting the ball back and hustling it forward pretty quickly. So I thought it was a very interesting midfield. I think we'll see it again. And I definitely think there is more to come from Wing and Savage playing as a partnership.
You're going to save some tactics chat for anyone else, or are you just going to hog it all?
What tactics chat would you like to raise?
Well, do you know what? In the week, I say the week, we're only 3 days into it, but at the start of the week, I saw someone not connected with Reading at all.
Yeah.
But someone called Dribbling Progressive Ball Carrying. And I was nearly sick. Yeah.
Well, that is kind of, yeah, that's how some of the outlets will call it that. Yeah. Progressive carries. That's always a good one.
Ridiculous. Just dribbling. Yeah. Just dribble the ball. look, you know, going back to Savage, I thought the criticism was over the top last night. I thought some people were just unnecessarily picking holes in it. Ultimately, we won, which is the main thing. Second thing is he hasn't actually started a game in the league since November, right? So, you know, regardless of whether you started in the cup against Brighton under 21s or you come on for cameos here and there, you're not going to be up to speed. And I thought he did fine. That would be the way that I would describe it. You know, I think we've had this historically with players where, you know, we had it with Carroll. We talked about him last year where people were like, wow, it's all Carroll's fault and all the rest of it. I don't think we're quite at that stage with Charlie Savage, but I just felt some of the criticism was a little bit over the top in terms of his role in it. And, you know, ultimately, as much as I always want our players to succeed, I'm not going to get on the players' backs at all. I feel like moving forward, he will offer more in games than Michael Craig does in terms of the attacking element. And if we can keep this run going, you know, the attack element of our formation and, you know, the way that we play will improve because we've had our backs against it. And it wasn't a game to start pinging 20, 30 yard balls across to people. It was a game to just kind of hunker down and get on with it. And I feel that he did that. And I feel all the players did that last night, you know. So ultimately it's job done. I would be surprised if he changes it on Saturday against Leyton Orient, because for me, you don't change a winning side. I think you need to give them the right of reply to go out and do something in the game on Saturday. But, you know, I'm not Ruben Sellers. So we'll see what happens. Talking of managers, to wrap up the Derby chat, Paul Warne, who is a manager who I've always liked, really. I covered him quite a lot at Rotherham. He said, his main takeaways were, I thought we got out-fought and out-run. What are your thoughts on that from an opposing manager, Ross? Because it's been decades since an opposition manager said that about a Reading team. Would you agree with him on that assessment?
There's definitely a lot of spirit, you know, it's kind of an intangible thing, but there's a lot of spirit in this Reading team. They've been, you know, they've been coming out with some pretty impressive results in weeks in which, you know, bad news has come out for the club. I can understand Wigan being a little bit of a flat performance last week because they had, you know, the first team hadn't really properly played together since the Exeter win on January 1st. So kind of had to warm back into it, and having as much of the ball as they did was pretty impressive. But yeah, I thought Reading, you know, when they went forward, you know, quickly on the counterattack, they did get to the balls before the Derby players. And we just had a lot more players who were able to run with some strength, hold on to the ball in dangerous positions last night. And we were brave and willing enough to get into those positions. I think Derby not having a shot on target kind of shows you that they just didn't really have the, the guile. Is that the right word? To reach a decent shooting position last night. So yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment, actually. And it speaks again to the sort of faster, more progressive carries sort of based play that we got last night. It's a good one. Dribbles could be going anywhere. What if you're going left and right and then you go backwards and you've still completed your dribble, but it wasn't progressive?
Look, do you know what? Talking of progressive, if we can build on this result and we get another result on Saturday, then, you know, things are looking up. I mean, last night, the 3 points was very, very welcome. It does leave us 4 points off Shrewsbury, who is sitting 20th. But we do have a game in hand, which, of course, will be the replayed Port Vale fixture in full, live and exclusive on the 20th of February. Live at the Select Carlison Stadium. So, check out sort of website and everything else for ticket details on that, and what to do if you can't go and all this sort of stuff. Right, let's talk about some questions that we've had from eagle-eared listeners.
Eagle-eared? They've been after a lot of questions. Yeah, you can be eagle-eared. I don't know what an eagle's ears are like, but you can be it, you know.
Who's got really good ears? A fox?
Foxes. Ears of a fox, eyes of a hawk, let's say ears, like cunning like a fox. I don't know, I'm just waffling now.
A lion
know what kind of animal has the best ears. Is it a shark? Who knows?
Well, you see, you talk about sharks, no one ever talks about sharks, and I think that they should get their flowers because sharks are great. So
it's true.
Anyway, here's the mailbag.
keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
Welcome back to episode 367 of the Tilehurst End podcast. We got a few questions, actually, a few meaty questions. Just to kind of preface this. Ross did a really nice podcast, actually, with Tom, who made his debut. Tom does a lot of tactical analysis, which Ross obviously loves. But, you know, they're all in article form, so to check those out. But they had a really good chat about tactics. So if you want to kind of do a bit more of a deep dive on, you know, transitions and, you know,
progressive carries. Progressive transition carries. Is just a counterattack, really. So, yeah. But anyway, carry on.
It's up and it's really, really good. And as a result of that, we've had a couple of questions that are kind of more of a statistical nature, if you like. So Georgie Dawes, obviously, a big Shooting Stars fan, love that program. It's specifically for you, Ross, which, you know, is fine. Okay. There are two people on this pod, but don't worry about it, George. Fine, crack on. A question on XG. Keep in mind, I have no real knowledge on it. So he's prefaced that question with a preface. Okay. Do the parameters used in the calculation change depending on which league you're in?
It's a good question. So basically, no, it doesn't vary by division. It varies by outlet. It's become a really popular stat in the last, you know, 5 years or so. So now you'll see it, you know, when you're playing FIFA or FC24 or whatever it's called now, and you're, you know, in your match facts that come up at the end, it's there. The BBC does it now. The Athletic will send you what the XG was at the end of a game, as well as the actual score sometimes. So basically, it's calculated in a similar way by a lot of different outlets, but there is disagreement among the best philosophy of how to collect that sort of data. So basically, the way in which it works is an XG model. It uses historical information from thousands and thousands of shots with similar characteristics to what has just happened on the field. And it basically estimates the likelihood of a goal between 0 and 1. So, for example, if you had a 0.2 XG shot, that will be converted about 2 in every 10 attempts. Mukairu had a weird one where it was slammed into his shins right in front of the net, and he somehow missed earlier this season, and that was counted as a 0.99 XG chance. So if you're going to score 99 times out of 100, it's a 0.99 XG thing, basically. The variables are like how far away from goal it is, the angle, did you hit it with your head or your foot, you know, what did you do? But basically, it's just different by every outlet. Some outlets weight things differently. Some outlets think that a weak-footed shot is not worth as much as the other side and things like that. The big issue this year has been that it's actually been harder to find these kinds of stats for Reading because they dropped down a division. The Championship had just got a bunch of this stuff, and now we're down in League One. There's even less access. But to round this out, I'd say that SofaScore and FotMob are your best outlets for advanced stats with Reading. And SofaScore is really fun. You can do like heat maps too, so that's cool.
So I remember having this conversation with Ollie Allen, who, you know, historical listeners will know, used to host the pod a fair amount and did an awful lot of writing for us. Well, still does bits and pieces, but did an awful lot back in the day. And we had this conversation about XG, and we couldn't really understand who would use it. Have you got an answer to that? Sort of like, who is it for? Fans? Is it for clubs? Is it like, what's the point of it, basically?
Yeah, so clubs love it because it all beds into something that you would kind of think of as in a group called underlying numbers. And so underlying numbers are going to tell you a little bit about what is going on outside of just, you know, the creative stuff like assists and goals and stuff like that. It's also going to tell you, it's going to help to tell you, so like as well as expected goals, there's expected assists, and it all comes together into, you kind of call it expected threat altogether, but you're going to learn more about which players are better at passing the ball to your striker's strong foot. so that they can get a strong shot off right away, and which strikers are better at getting themselves into good positions. Femi Aziz is a good example of someone whereby the underlying numbers were looking good earlier this season, even though he wasn't producing much in terms of goals and assists. He was still producing a lot of like expected assists, whereby he was getting the ball into the right places and he was getting the ball to his teammates where they probably should have scored and they didn't. So he was getting unlucky, basically. That's kind of, I would say clubs use them because they help to point towards when a player is actually doing the right things. They're just not being rewarded for it on the pitch. And it's useful, and it's just kind of interesting from a, you know, from an analysis point of view, from that point to look at.
Okay, so basically it's like match attacks, but for professional grown-ups.
Exactly. Yes, fantastic. Exactly. Top trumps, but for boys with calculators.
Perfect. Got it. Well, it's a good question, though. Thanks for that. I need to do more research and I need to understand it a little bit better because I don't. So, yeah, it's probably a string that I need to add to my bow, if you like.
Well, I would say, actually, though, I mean, you love Moneyball, and a lot of these things kind of came from the baseball revolution in stats where, you know, they had that, and then soccer's football. That was bad. Yeah, football's kind of going through it, too. But I think that it's important to see both sides. I think sometimes you can get a little bit caught up with all of the stats with football, and the eye test is important. Like I say, a lot of these... You know, a lot of the stat revolution stuff started with baseball, but baseball, the plays are a lot more predictable than they are in football. So it's a little bit easier to quantify in numbers. I think the eye test and analyzing players on the pitch is still really important.
Okay. Scott, American Royals. It's one of you.
Oh, okay.
I think we had questions from Scott before, actually. He always comes out with some pretty nice ones. Question for the pod. Good start, Scott. You didn't say Ross. Fantastic. Not only did Sellers change his back line while defending a lead, he changed to a back three. Is this the way forward when trying to see out games, or did we get lucky?
I don't really have an issue. How do you feel about changing the back line in the last half hour?
I mean, he loves changing a fullback. I'll give him that. He's consistent in that approach.
Like in general, though, as a rule, like, I don't know if like suddenly I feel like I've been told that it's, you never do that this season. Maybe I've said that you never do that this season, so I sound like an idiot now, but I don't know.
I think when you, at the time, people around me were like, why is he taking Yedlin off? But for me, it made sense because I was coming back from injury. And I think he said that after the game. I didn't listen to the quotes.
I think he did.
For me, if your fullbacks were effective, you want them to get up and down the pitch, and you want a really nice overlap with the wingers, right?
Right.
I don't think we've been doing that really, and I'm sure you'll prove me wrong with some amazing stat. But you know, our fullbacks are not massively proactive in the attacking sense. So when we used to play with wing backs, that was a really good example of that. I guess you could bring in, if you're playing it that way, then you could talk about fatigue in terms of the distance that you've got to cover in those channels. But we weren't doing that. I mean, the bottom line is it worked because we won the game, right?
He
does that and we end up conceding three goals, then there's a riot. So I don't have any particular strong opinions on it. I think looking at the bench last night, there was very few options in my mind to kind of really turn the screw on Derby. It's not like you're going, right, do you know what, we're going to bring on another striker alongside Smith or whatever and really have an effect on the game. So it made sense to freshen up. I think he made five subs in the end.
He did. Yeah, he got through. And McIntyre got his first league minutes, I think, since October, maybe. So that was good to see.
So we're limited in what we can and can't do off the bench. So I don't know. Start from the back, maybe.
In terms of
trying to set the game, like it didn't really. I think the point is, it didn't really disrupt the flow of the game. It didn't really do anything apart from save a bit of energy and a bit of legs from those players. So it worked. I just would like more attacking option on the bench. You know, obviously he brought on, I'm just looking now, I mean, yeah, Kelvin was the only one, and that was in the 88th minute. Yeah. And actually, I'd really love to be in a position where I go, do you know what? We're going to hammer him now. Like, we're really going to go for it. You know, empty the bench. You put Vickers, you put Big Kelvin on, you know, and just go from there. But, you know, Mola and Bengay, McIntyre, Craig, they're all pretty defensive.
I think part of the issue with the subs yesterday is that we already had Wing and Savage on the field and we still weren't able to control possession at all. Like, they were in control mostly in terms of field position and possession. Reading were just able to attack really well. Like, they're our wingers, and Nibs was playing pretty well. Smith was doing okay last night. There wasn't really anyone who was massively at fault there. But I do think that, you know, with Wing and Savage, not dictating the game, sort of just having to run around and clean things up in there, you know, that kind of made it difficult to bring in subs who were going to make a big impact, because we still might not been able to get the ball to them. And Aziz and Makaira were doing fine when the ball did come to them. So I don't have an issue with massively with changing up the back line in that situation. Changing to a back three is interesting. I think that part of that was to get McIntyre some minutes, but I think that, you know, Reading are trying to block up the center and make it really hard to get shots on target against them by forcing shots to come from sort of low percentage areas a lot of the time. And I think this is just another way to really clog up the center of the field and just make us a little bit more sure in the air, because we have been lacking in the air this year, kind of all year really. So yeah, I think it's fine. I think it was going towards the same game plan, which was block up the middle of the field, especially around the box.
I think the biggest compliment really in terms of that decision was the fact that Derby made triple substitution of a lot of their, you know, forward-facing players on, what, 62, 63 minutes, something like that? I mean, that's a significant, oh my God, this is not working. And, and to kind of make a wholesale change in that area of the pitch, or those areas of the pitch, rather, losing my voice, sorry, is a compliment to what we were trying to do in terms of shutting them out. And it continued to work. You know, they had another half an hour where they still couldn't get a shot on target. So, you know, in this particular situation, it did work. And I know, like we talked about it earlier, in terms of the attacking contribution of Savage and Wing in some respects, but actually they did a good job of smothering them in that area and stopping, you know, acting as that kind of that block before, you know, they got towards the fence in stopping their shots. So it did work, really. I think it's going to be interesting to see how those substitutions pan out, not just on Saturday, but moving forward in games where we are, and it is going to sound really wishy-washy and vague, but like, we're in control of the game, but not really in control of the game. So, you know, actually we never, winning the game is great. I think we deserve the points overall, but I never felt like we were completely dominant last night.
Yeah.
And actually, if we've got more of those games coming up, you know, what's the pattern of substitutions in that respect? So we'll see if it pans out. Right, we've got one more question. Professor Keyboard.
Professor Keyboard, okay. Dr. Keyboard, if he's a professor, or just professor?
Well, then his handle is Jungle Jim, which I think is hilarious.
Oh, okay, so interesting.
About last night as well, Ross, this one. Would we have lost yesterday's match if the referee wasn't so lenient? I thought the referee was all right.
I was going to say, I never really recognized the referee or noticed the referee much when I'm watching on TV, unless they've made a really big error. But it seemed to me like the ref was pretty unnoticeable last night. Same in the stadium?
Yeah, he was fine in the stadium. Yeah, I didn't really. I mean, he loved to tackle. He let a tackle go.
Yeah.
I know that Derby fans weren't happy, but they weren't happy with life, quite frankly. So,
I think a lot of the challenges seem to happen, like right in front of the Derby fans as well. So I think maybe they got, you know, a little bit wound up by that and made it seem. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't recognize. I really don't remember the ref doing much at all. So maybe he was lenient and we got a little bit lucky. But hey, we'll take that. We'll take that all day.
Just to kind of round out the mailbag, we're not trying to sound big time here, but we get a lot of requests sent to the inbox. We get a lot of, can you mention this? Can you do this? Blah, 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 blah. And we had one come in today from a lady called Jo Gillas. I think I've said that right. Basically, her 15-year-old son, Maddox, is completing a running challenge next month. And I thought, I thought you might like to hear about it, as in us. Basically, he is running 65 miles.
Damn.
And he's basically, he goes to the Forest School in Wokingham, which is where our other donors, Community Trust. He's been a Reading fan all his life, and he's combining his love for football with a passion for running and making a difference. So on the 16th of February, he'll be starting a 65-mile run from the Select Carl Leeson Stadium to the home of Portsmouth, which is Fratton Park, just in time for the Reading versus Portsmouth match at 3 p.m. on Saturday, the 17th of February. So he's basically going to run overnight 65 miles from Reading to Portsmouth to get to the game in time for 3 o'clock.
That is really impressive. That is really impressive. Maddox, just get in a car. Like, it's in the middle of the night. No one's going to know. And then take your 40 miles out the middle of it. Night, you've got to run a marathon on the edge of it. No, sorry. That is really impressive. Like that is great. And for a good cause as well. So that is awesome.
So he's raising money for a World Challenge Expedition to Peru in July. Basically, it's like a... It looks like it's a conservation project, so reforestation, trail maintenance. So basically, he's doing this to raise money to go to Peru to basically help the environment. So I think what we will do, and we'll speak to Sim about this, is just posting his GoFundMe page. We can do that through the Tilehurst End for you, Joe. So we can do that. So, you know, again, if you've anything like that you want to get in touch with. You know, we're not going to profess that we've got a huge audience, but we have a very loyal audience. You know, so people listen to this show, believe it or not. So if there's anything like that you ever want us to talk about, particularly for charity, then just let us know. But this is impressive, I have to say.
Yeah, no, good luck. This is really impressive. Good luck to you. And hopefully the players on the pitch, once you get to Portsmouth, you know, they show a similar level of commitment and effort that you've done there. That is pretty special. And hopefully it turns out really well. Some world record breaking times. I don't know what the times are for the 65 miles. Can you have a time for that far?
Well, I mean, it depends when he's leaving. It depends on the time he's leaving on the Friday, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
I can't believe that game's come around that quick. 17th of February.
Wow, the season's gone before you know it. Reading, gotta get out that. I know, got to get out that relegation zone again soon.
Yeah. Well, listen, Maddox, good luck with it. I hope it goes well. I'm sure it will. It sounds like you've been doing a lot of training for it, and we'll definitely promote your GoFundMe page. So, we can do that for you. No problem at all. And shout out to Forest School as well in Wokingham. Hope you're having a good term or whatever. Right. I'll stop waffling now and end it on good luck, Maddox. And hope that you raise the money that you need. We're going to head into the preview where we're hoping for a bit more good luck against Leighton Orient on Saturday at 3 p.m.
There's another huge game ahead for the Royals, so be loud and be proud for the big match preview.
Alrighty, welcome back to the final part of episode 367 of the Tilehurst End podcast. We welcome Leighton Orient on Saturday, Ross. Last time, the reverse victory flight was an absolute shambles. Saw fairly angry scenes at the final whistle. Orient sitting 10th, which is a pretty good season for them, I have to say, considering they were, largely touted to finish in the bottom part of the league. Does Sellers change the team from last night, or does he keep it the same?
I think maybe if it was away, then you might go back to Craig, but because it's at home again and you want to play I don't necessarily think that we saw everything that we can from this lineup, you know, because Derby had so much of the ball and so much of Reading's attack was done pretty quickly and not so much in slow build up. So yeah, I think you keep Savage in the team and you see if we can outscore Leighton Orient again. But hey, I mean, there are questions defensively about Savage and we kept a clean sheet, didn't concede a shot on target against Derby. So yeah, I would probably move forward with the same team, and I would be hoping that Makairu can really kick on. If Makairu can start scoring or adding assists and things like that to his game alongside, you know, Aziz on the other side, then that's going to be huge for Reading staying up this season. So yeah, I'd probably keep the same lineup, and I guess I'm hoping for another Makairu goal is kind of where I'm at. Orion won the last three, so 10th place and looking pretty good right now. Hopefully, you know, that home momentum that we have at the moment, that gets us over the line, because another 3 points right away when we've got, what is it, 7 teams who are now within 5 points of us, I think that would be huge moving forward.
I mean, they'll come down to Reading still with sort of an outside aspiration of making the playoffs potentially, which, you know, for a club like them, and I don't mean that in any disrespectful way whatsoever, but as we said earlier, considering the season they were supposed to have, you know, that would be pretty good going for them. I mean, they seem to share the goals around. They've got Satoru, which is a lovely name. Have I said that right? Hopefully. Doing a Tim Deller here. He's on 7 goals. And then there's a couple of players on sort of 4 and 3, respectively. Ford in midfield with 5. So, you know, they look all right, really. Do you... I seem to say this every week, really. Do you think we've got enough to win this game, considering that we, you know, we beat Derby last night? You know, would we be going into this game as favourites per se, or is it just another game where we've just got to get through and go just get some points?
It's tricky because they just beat Bolton on the weekend, so they're no mugs either, and they're in a good run of form. I think that Reading are going to suffer in periods in this game for sure. But if, you know, yes, we played pretty well recently, but there's still more to come from players like Sam Smith and like I said, like Makairu. And I think that something that we'll talk more about in the coming weeks is kind of Reading could be doing more from outside of the box to shoot and score. They are kind of proportionally behind the rest of the league in terms of scoring goals from outside of the box. So I think that with Wing and Savage maybe getting further up the field as they could in this formation, then we've got players who can shoot from further outside, you know, in good positions then, and maybe we can kick on. So yeah, I think we have more than enough to win this game. I kind of hope that it's one where we control more of possession and we can kind of see how this lineup operates in that situation. But yeah, definitely got enough to win.
And of course, Leighton Orient managed by Richie Wellens, who is the father of Charlie Wellens, who is, of course, now in our under-21s.
I wonder if
bizarre,
Charlie will be
really,
there.
When you consider...
Yeah, that is weird, isn't it? Can he go out into the Leighton Orient dugout, do you think? He's like, he's just going to see his dad, you know? He's fine. It's a bit weird, isn't it?
He could be the mascot. Who knows? Could
yeah,
be the mascot.
And there you go.
It's weird when you know, consider, obviously, Richie played for United, Man United. Charlie played for Man United. Exactly the same with Robbie and Charlie Savage as well. So it's a small world when it comes to Reading and Manchester United, isn't it?
I'm now imagining our Wellens, you know, as the Leighton Orient mascot, shaking Charlie Savage's hand in the pre-match thing. That's a great image, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh man.
It's well, yeah, 20 years old, world's oldest mascot. Just like, all right, Charlie. Yeah, good.
Yeah, training all right. How's it going?
But yeah, I mean that's an interesting plot twist or a very small interesting subplot twist, I guess. Really, I wonder what Richie makes of the goings on at the club with his son Charlie as well. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that game pans out. What else we got? We've got quite a few articles up at the moment. Ross has obviously done his player ratings recently. As we said earlier, we've got those pods up that you can tap into whenever you want.
Yeah,
really would. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh yeah, pods are amazing, but I really would recommend the tactics one. It's a very different vibe because of the nature of it, obviously. But you know, I know there's a lot of people out there that really like their tactics, and you know, crunching numbers and you know, formations and the science of the game. So really, really get into that one. And the other one I would say that we've had really good feedback from kind of just the football world, without being dramatic, is the one that we did with Mark Porter, who is the chair of the Port Vale Supporters Trust, who was just a lovely guy, just great to listen to. Real knowledge up on
really really knowledgeable, and as nice as Mark sounded. If you haven't listened to that, do go back and listen, because I've had great feedback from all kinds of football people on that Mark Porter interview. And as nice as you think Mark is, he's nicer, you know, as he sounded on
that's a really good way to describe it.
Yeah, like he is genuinely a great guy. Yeah,
however you think, he's great.
Yeah, and it is just nice to connect with the whole football community on this. So, go back and check it out.
There is a separate fundraiser set up by Port Vale fans for a young lad, really, with health conditions. So have a look at that one. That's online on social media and through websites. But yeah, I think it's really, really positive that the strength that of relationship the two clubs have had, you know, over the last few weeks as a result of this. And, you know, hopefully when times are better, we can just celebrate being football fans rather than, you know, one on one side, fans in distress and fans that have been in distress. But it was a really, really good pod. And, you know, just to listen from our point of view, just to listen to him and what he's been through with his club. So there is kind of light at the end of the tunnel, hopefully.
And when we both stay up, I'm sure it'll be a fun visit to Stoke to go to Port Vale next year for the Reading fans who do make that trip. Yeah.
Yeah, a few ales, I think, will be had that day. So,
very nice too.
Ross, have a really good rest of the week. We will catch up again start of next week after a win against Leyton Orient.
Yep, looking forward to it. Here we go, past the O's. Are they the O's? I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, I think so. I was going to say the Imps, but that was that's Lincoln.
That was Lincoln. Yeah. Another League One L team. I'm looking forward to playing Leyton Orient. They're a classic English Football League team. So, yeah, looking forward to it, and let's go get 3 points.
They are, aren't they? We've had some crackers, really, in terms of teams that we've been playing. So, yeah. Their mascot actually is Theo the Wyvern.
Wyvern. Okay. Right. Okay. Is it a wyvern? You're the Welshman. I don't know. I don't know if it's a wyvern is just another. It's similar to a dragon. Let's leave it there. It's a rabbit.
He basically is a red dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's meant to be a wyvern on the Welsh flag too, but now I'm digging a hole, so let's just move on. Everyone have a great week, and we'll be back with more hot wyvern and dragon gossip next week.
Yeah, exactly. Farewell, and come on you Arse.